body. Moçado, manebo tá brua, me chepso. Adicto nabo e me ser de boca já sabe. Me lofta bem de coração e me coração tá vista. Tu cê tá visado, tu cê tá urado.
Welcome to the Empower Hour. We bring empower to the people because the people have the power. This squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. I'm Queen Kaya, joined by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens listening.
Ah, I am so grateful to life, God our creator, and to the ancestors. For being present with us this morning and for making it possible for us to be able to be on here this morning. And I ask just that the time that we spend together, let it be very uplifting, let it be fun, let it be educational, and most importantly, let it be empowering for all our listeners. And I'm sending out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, and wealth. Hotep, amen, ashe. And all that good stuff. I felt like there was more. What are the other ones?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Well, wa alaikum salam.
Listen,
I don't know.
Don't start that. Don't start breaking it down.
I just feel like everybody should get a touch. But anyway, you know, just
you know,
as I'm putting it up. I did say amen. I said amen. I said hotep. I said I didn't say shalom.
Shalom.
And peace be with you and namaste.
Namaste. Love and light.
Love and light. I think I might have said it. Blessings to all, and
we all inclusive in here.
And you know that's what I'm saying, man. So I'm glad to be here, Queens. I missed you guys last week.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
yo, we're all fetting
it. Yeah, well, you know how it is, yeah. But I listened to the show. It sounds like you guys had a good time. It was Ladies Are Us show.
I was missing.
I felt like because there's things you guys said on the show last week that every time I heard, I commented. I was like, I wish I was there.
Oh, you mean you were missing out?
I was missing.
Okay, you weren't missing. You were missing out.
Thank you, Gina. Yes. You're absolutely, yes. Okay. If I'm going to say it right, yeah, I was missing out.
Of course. I
would
have
said it like this.
Yeah.
Leave it on our page. Yeah. If you have any comments, leave it on the page.
And I have so many. Anyway, so, okay. So, how was you guys' week? Who started?
Guys.
Yeah.
I finally got my couch.
Oh!
Yeah!
I bought it in May. Thank you.
Now I could come over. That's the only reason I wasn't coming over
before. High key, no one was allowed over. No one's been in my house. Because then what, are you going to sit on the floor?
That's what I'm saying. No.
Like, I bought the couch in May. It was supposed to be delivered July 4th. It was literally delivered on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm super stoked.
Did you get it for free?
No. No. You're not...
You have to call them now
ruler.
And tell them that you never got the couch.
No, they make you sign. They make you sign the
I don't know who signed that, and they moved out with it. Like, it's gone.
No, but the thing is, it's like in this day of post pandemic, and when things go out of stock, you have no choice.
Okay,
you get in where you fit it. And they said, well, it's going to be delayed. You have one or two choices: wait, or purchase another couch that's available. I was like, no, but that's my couch though.
Yeah,
I love that couch though.
Yeah,
so I waited. And I finally got it, and I did all kinds of home improvement yesterday. I was tired. I love my mom, guys. I swear I do. But yesterday, her time expired in my home.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And like at the end, and she purposely called me like 16 times on her way out, and I had to pick up the phone at one point saying, the caller you're trying to reach is unavailable.
I know it's Eugenia. Cut it out.
Yeah. No. She laughed because she knew. She called. She knew. And she knew that she was pushing every one of my buttons, but thankfully I put my TV up. I did all kinds of home improvement. It was a blessed week, especially for this Mercury retrograde.
Right,
so I love that. And for all of the stuff that you're saying you had to do, you still showed up this morning. You look beautiful.
Thank you. Y'all
gotta check the YouTube. Gigi looked good today. Gigi got her hair done. Gigi got on her cute outfit.
She
came to slay.
Trimmed. I had to blow it out to get it trimmed. And now I'm feeling like a new me.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm feeling like it was a good week. It was a good week.
She's back.
Kai, what's going on with you?
Child, listen, I'm just going to sing this. I'm keeping my part short. I'll be a fool to go back to my ex-boyfriend. What did I say? I'm really there right now. So last week was breakup week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a breakup. Because you know why? Me, I left Mercury have its way. I don't care.
No, yeah. I you know, I was listening and I was like, Kaya, I'm not in agreement with this breakup. I need more. Because first of all, I'm listening to what you're
not in agreement. Okay, here's the best.
Tell me more.
So I thought I was breaking up with him. He broke up with me.
Wait a minute, huh?
Right?
Was it after he heard the show?
He broke up with me, right? He broke up with me because I said, I'm going to talk to the other woman.
Oh.
I'm going to talk to them because you obviously don't like to tell the truth. So I'm going to get the truth. He's scared to death.
Okay.
He broke up first.
So how he break up with you now?
No. That's the break. Because when I say it's over, I'll be back in a couple of days.
Right. Okay. Oh, you'll be pump faking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fake pumping.
Right. Got it.
Straight. That's how it go. And it's just to test you to see if you really mind.
Right, right.
So now I know you're not mind. Because every couple of days, as soon as I break up with him for 3 days, he jumped. So I put him on a pedestal over, he jumped down to dance.
Okay.
So last week was breakup week. And this week is breakup week. This week is obviously very different. So this week I am cleaning out my closets. Mm-hmm. I am putting everything in a bag and putting it at the front door. I will not be calling anyone to say, hey, you left an eyelash here at me. Hey, everything going in the garbage.
But the only thing I have to say, though, because when I was listening last week, I heard you say, like, you just felt like he wasn't bringing you out enough. You weren't doing stuff. And you're like, look, that's it. And you went straight to, okay, then that means you're taking care of somebody else. I was wondering why you didn't just tell the man, like, look, I want to go out and do stuff. Like, why?
I did. And you know what's the thing? So when he go out with his friends and stuff like that, he buying bottles and stuff, he always want to take the cheap route when he going out with me because he don't want to feel like, because people have told him that I'm a gold digger.
Ah.
So now they trying to say like, well, he don't want to spend, no. Like, let me see if she really like me. Is she going to let me take her all on all these crappy dates?
Ah.
And I don't like nobody that much.
Okay.
You leave me. Leave me. Straight. So that's this is the week. And you know what? I actually feel clear about it. My friend is like, oh, no, this is Mercury retrograde. I'm like, nah, B. Mercury help you work out the stuff that really was supposed to be worked out. The things that we put to the back, the things that we don't pay attention to. And it make us focus and pay attention to the things that we're supposed to.
Facts.
And you could call it whatever you want to. But this is not a hectic time for me. I laugh through the whole thing. Like, literally. I don't feel bad. I'm still making money every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing what I gotta do. Things are not perfect, but I'm content in my lifestyle right now.
And I don't care.
I ain't letting it beat me. So that's how I feel. And that was my week in a nutshell.
All right.
Don't let nobody's son put you in the corner. Don't nobody put baby in the corner.
Okay.
Well, already.
How was your luxurious 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, I've had 2 weeks, but I'm just going to talk about this past week. So, first of all, I've seen so many films in a short span of time. I'm glad I'm doing this kind of live as well, because guys, if you have not been out to the Black Film Festival today, I think it's the closing night, right?
Okay.
The last film is at 4:00 today. If you guys want to go, the OFC, we have a guest list. Definitely reach out. I will take care of you guys. You got to go and check out these films.
Today being Sunday, because for those listening on CKUT, you know, we record on Sundays.
As you guys know, we record this on Sundays and we rebroadcast on CKUT. So today being Sunday, the 25th, last day of the Montreal International Black Film Festival, I want to give a huge shout out to Andrea Essie, who's the head coordinator, and obviously a huge shout out to Fabian Cola and her entire team for just what they're doing. I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown. So first, the launch night. Okay, guys, we watched a film called Lovely Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first I got
to
tell you.
We had a guest who came to talk about it. No?
Guys,
Not Dear Jackie.
I know, right?
There's a couple Jackies.
There's a bunch of Jackies. This one's completely different. And that's the thing. When I first heard it, I was like, the Jackie Robinson thing? Not at all.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. This was about a brother who was incarcerated for 39 years. Wrongfully. So as a teenager, it was a crazy, like, you know, how things were going down in the 70s. So it was a shooting in the area. A man was killed. This is a youth that had nothing to do with nothing. So this youth, and I'm paraphrasing for you guys. So what ended up happening, another youth in the community, who was a younger kid at the time, he's like 12. So the youth that was accused of this murder was 18. And this 12-year-old took the stand, lied. right, and said that, yeah, he's seen this guy do it, but there was no witness, there was no evidence or nothing, and that was enough for them. They just wanted to, put this killing of this white man, because it was a white person that got killed, on somebody. So they put it on this little 12-year-old boy. And this, no, at the time, he was 18. This 18-year-old boy, they tried him as a man. Now, picture, and he, and like, so first of all, just so you guys know, my energy doesn't take well to those type of things. So I apologize to everybody I was sitting next to, because I had to get up 5 times. At least, because I can't take in this kind of, like, atrocity. I have a real hard time with it, guys. Yeah. Like, so I was like, I can't watch this. You get out. I was almost going to leave the movie until Andrea saw me in the hall. She's like, look at your guys leave. I was like, I'm not sure I can take on this film. She's like, trust me. She's like, I know what you're talking about, but it gets better. I was like, yeah, I'm going to take your word for it, Andrea, because, yo, and I'm glad I did, guys. I'm glad I did on many levels, because, yes, it was a very feel-good movie by the time you got to the end of it. But what was the most touching part is that we had him on the screen. He joined us on Zoom after.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heavy.
Like, and I want to know more, but I want people to go out and
yeah, well, that's it. Like, but that's what they're, and like, and actually, if you go to the film festival, you can still watch the movie online, right? But guys, see it, okay? Just his story, the highlight, and sorry, spoiler alert, is that the guy is so loving. No matter all the BS the man went through, even the guy, the boy who lied on him, and he was in jail for 39 years because the boy lied to him, he's like, yo, it's all love, man.
Was the boy white?
No, it was a little black boy. Yeah. He's like, I understand. He was a 12-year-old child at the time, and I'm like, I'm watching this, and my mind is blown because there was another witness, another girl, who never spoke up either. So I'm like, yo, both of you guys, like, and the man sitting in jail for 39 years, innocent. And the thing is, every time they gave him a parole and they gave him an option to leave, they're like, as long as you say you did it, we'll let you out. He's like, I didn't do it. Another 20 years. I didn't do it. Another 5 years. And he was like, every time, like, yo, okay, are you remorseful for what you did? He's like, I didn't do it. So, no, I'm not remorseful. Back in jail. And it's like, every time you have to go back in jail, my heart broke. I was like, oh, my God, just say you did it.
Jeez.
No, yes. But he is the story of perseverance. He is the story of, like, just sticking to what it is. He said his mom was talking to him very often in his head. Like, yeah. But I have to tell you guys, for those who have people on the inside, check on them. Because he said the hardest thing for him, no matter how long he was in there for, is the fact that his family and friends never come to check him. Over 20 years. He was in there by 20, over 20-something years. Nobody checked him. No call, no letter, no nothing. He's like, I understand. Life goes on. People forgot about me. But it's like, damn, son. And it's like, he was innocent. So anyways, guys, that was thing. Big shout out to the brother. At the end of it, he got a huge settlement. He got a couple $1 million. So it was funny to see, like, because you're seeing him going through this whole thing. And then when you see the last clip of him, he's in fur. He's like, you know, he's like, well, yeah, you know, I got a settlement, and he got married to a beautiful woman, and, you know, like, it's like, honestly, it's a feel-good, but it's one of those things where I had to ask, like, the spirit. I'm like, but I don't get it. Like, why? What was the lesson here?
The only thing that came to my mind is that when he came to this plane, his spiritual self said, I need to go through this experience.
That's all I could tell myself, too.
That's what I have to tell myself.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
What I feel in my spirit, honestly, is that for who this man might have been, and I haven't seen it, but I'm going to tell you what Spirit just said to me. This stint that he did in prison and being wrongfully accused maybe saved him from the streets that he was on, that he was around.
Wow.
And it gave him a chance to have longevity, and they saved him and preserved him. And then, in order to make right, Spirit also sent a financial gain in the end, in order for him to now live out the better part of his life, that he no longer has to fear whatever it was that Spirit was attempting to keep him from.
That's heavy.
So, and I do believe sometimes we got to be put on ice to be preserved, and that's what happens, right?
Wow.
So they might have just, God might have just said, nah, we need you to go into this next part of your life to prove something, to tell a story. And that story is going to save a lot of people. So he might have been the one. He's a martyr.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you for that, Kai. And the thing is, through the contacts we have, we could actually reach and speak to this guy. So I think we'll give him that perspective. Because every once in a while, he says he does still cry. He does still think about, you know, the experience. And maybe he just needs a different perspective so he could, you know, that just always be on an up. Don't even let whatever was, you know, like, affect you. Because he did mention that throughout the time in jail, like, he never cried. Because that's the one thing, like, no matter thing, like, you never show that kind of weakness. Mm-hmm. So he, even when he came out, like it took him a while to connect with his emotions, and now he's connected. He's like, I cry all the time. It's great. But he's like, you know, but he's like, you know, it took him a minute to be able to connect with that side of him again. You know, so it's super, super deep. I want to encourage everybody. A minute? Okay, yeah. Bam. So I'm going to bust you in the last 2 minutes, the last two films very quick. I went to go see The Kaepernick in America. Now, Kaepernick has a film on Netflix that I thought was going to be the same thing. Nope. It was dope. And I went with my daughters. It was great. It was honestly another awesome documentary that really just spoke about his story from that perspective. Like, from, it's like his Kaepernick experience, like when he's telling the story, you get it from that perspective. But from the outside looking in, you really understand like how sick people were. Because they really treated him like, you know, like it was terrible. And just him just really just trying to say, guys, it's messed up what's happening. Yeah. And when you really look at it, he was doing that before the George Floyd thing. So it's like he was trying to prevent that. He was like, guys, it's getting bad. And I'm doing this just to bring awareness. And everyone's like, you're being unpatriotic. You hate America. And he's like, wow, like this is, has none to do with that. And this just shows how people are and like how sick people are and like whatever be the case. So that's just that, you know, on that aspect. Again, I want to encourage you guys to go check that out. And last but very far from least, guys, can I just get a round of applause for Woman King? Because Woman King, it was such
Don't tell too much because I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Okay, all right, fine. I'm going to say it was a feel good.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to hit the gym now.
Yeah, I walk straight, like different.
Gym.
Yeah,
that's all I saw was abs, and none of them were men.
It's kind of thing is, like, there was a lot of reviews, like, a lot of people, you know, it was maybe it wasn't historically accurate and stuff like that. Obviously, we can never please everybody. But for those who just want to watch a good film with black people kicking ass,
where it's not strong. It's not like, and don't get me wrong, love me some Boys in the Hood and all that, but it's just, it's not one of those movies, because we're not like, we're more than just
how do they know that it's not accurate.
Well, that's the thing.
Because they were there, Cryer.
They wasn't there.
They were there. They saw it. They spoke the language.
No. It's just because like when you do the research on it, there is like they took the story from an actual character and stuff like that. So when you do the research on, and the people who were from Benin and stuff like that, like they know the historical facts of that king and that queen and stuff like that.
They're the only people that could speak on it.
Pretty much. And that's
really, don't come to me with no book that was written by Alexander Nobody.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. No. So it is coming from the melanin community who were from there. And
people from there.
And the thing,
okay, take back seats.
Right. But the thing is, don't get me wrong. So they did speak the language
Take back seats.
But it's just that they, even those who had criticism, so to speak, they still said it was a great film. And they encouraged me. It's just that they're saying, guys, just let's not, you know, let's not let people completely twist our history. Like, there's historical counts and stuff like that we can't just, you know, for the sake of Hollywood, just downplay it.
They also didn't call it a documentary.
That's
the difference too. Like, to make a Hollywood film, you have to put in a love story. You have to put in certain aspects of it that draws the public.
Yeah.
If they came out and were like, this is a documentary of XYZ person, now I understand how you got to be more historically accurate. This was it was an all right feel good movie and a motivational one,
big time.
I gotta say some very fluffy stuff because I'm not trying to, no spoiler alerts.
We'll deep dive next week. We'll have a chance to check it out. But if like it's a movie, I'll see again. So call me, Kai. I might come with you. But it's something
where we're having. I want to do a VIP style.
That's VIP probably cinema. How we're gonna do it tomorrow.
Holler at your boy.
Okay.
I definitely want to come, but definitely again, I want to encourage everybody to check that out if you haven't. And anyways, I'll cut my rambling short. We have an awesome guest with us on our round table. Hi.
Guest? I'm just sitting in.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you here. But no, we have an awesome day today, guys, because we have a bunch of politicians with us.
Yeah, we have a special show.
Today is Meet the Candidates show with the Empower Hour, guys. So we have a slew. I sent the list of the candidates. I'm using my phone to go live right now, so I can't.
Like, what are you searching for?
Yeah, I was checking for my phone, then I saw it. So if we could just, I want to give a huge shout out. So we're gonna have Halima Matu Ba from the Green Party. We have Halal Palavix. I should have had Gina read these. I don't even know why Gina handed me the phone. She knows she reads
you
better than me.
You asked for it.
I know. Can you just read the names out for me, Gina? You know you read better than me. Come on, man. I'd be throwing out people's names all the time.
Halima Touba from the Green Party. Hilal Pilatsky from the Quebec Solidaire. Carmel Antoine Bessard from Conservative Party. Christina Ayangos from Liberal Quebec, and Keaton Clark from Bloc MTO.
So, guys, as you guys know, elections is right around the corner, October 3rd. So this is, and actually, shoot, today, if you're listening on, you're with us live, you can go pre-vote today and tomorrow. I think I will go pre-vote just to get the, just to get it done, quick, fast, in a hurry. But guys, this is the Empower Hour and the OFC just doing what we can to educate you all. If you have questions for the candidates, send them in if you're tuning in live. We're going to be going in. They're going to be joining us. It's going to be an amazing, amazing segment. And we're looking forward to it. So stay tuned after this break.
Parlay with the people.
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 Parlay with the people, y'all.
Again, I want to thank you all. So this is the Empower Hour. And this segment that you guys are on is called Parlay with the People. And this is our opportunity that we've created just for the community to get to understand more about what the parties are about. Understanding today, the 25th is the pre-voting date. So as you guys know, today is the day. If you want to go vote early, you can go do it from now, today, tomorrow. So it's just creating an opportunity for you all to get a better understanding of what the parties are bringing, and to get an opportunity just to meet our meet some of the candidates who are representing. So I'll go in just from what I how we see it on our screen. How we do that from left to right, or should we do how we have it presented on our thing?
Well, let's start with Caminando and Sasa. She has to head out early, so let's start with the that's conservator.
Okay, and so if we'll keep an eye on the time. So each person has about 6 minutes to introduce. So as the time is running, I'll give you guys a little wave. Just so you guys know, just so we can respect everybody's time and everyone has an opportunity to speak, because we're only on for an hour, so you know we'll bang it out. So, Madame Carmel Antoine Bessal, the floor is yours. We're giving you we're seeing you the floor early, and you're on mute right now, so you can unmute and you can go ahead.
So good morning to all. So Carmel Antoine Bessal, also known as Maïmel, and you know me as Maïmel because I am a member of OFC. So nothing new, okay? You know me. And if you didn't, it means that you weren't part of OFC. So that let that sink in. Now I'm going hard on vote par anticipation, là, okay? So I'm at the circonscription de Bourassa Sauvé. This is approximately, we would say 95% is Montréal Nord. And we know the issues of Montréal Nord. What is the link between us and OFC? You understand that a quarter of our population is, let's say, Black, okay? So when we're talking about History Month, we're talking too about Black History Month, Montréal Nord. So why does Carmel Antoine Bessard, who an engineer, who write books, and my books are progressive, my books are really in sync about what we call intersectionality, and being a Black woman in our society, why would she go to Parti conservateur du Québec? Very simple. There's no exclusivity because my rights as an individual is very important. And this is how we see the merge of not two ways of thinking, but me as an example, as being me, a Black woman, being able to go with Le Parti conservateur du Québec and Libre chez nous. And I had no choice to take this party. And I want Black people to be very mindful about what is going on. I'm going to say there's fake friends and there are real allies. Where were the oppositions? Where were the government when they were forcing things on us? Where were our leaders? The only person who stood up was Éric Duhem, du Parti conservateur du Québec. He might not be perfect, but let me tell you, he defended a lot of us at Bourassa Sauvé, because you do understand, in my area, we are the one who were questioning the government, which the opposition didn't question nothing at all. We are used in Bourassa Sauvé, Montréal Nord, to vote a certain way. But this is what we see about love not being in both directions. I won't name the party, because when it was time to defend us, you were nowhere around us. And we will not forget. La devise du Québec, c'est je me souviens. We have to be very mindful on how we're going to vote starting off today. And another member of our group, OFC, One Full Circle, Tammy Tuesday, really had a nice breakdown on how we should vote, and the vote is Parti conservateur du Québec. That's one thing, and that's the national level. Of course, there is the local level. I am involved in my community. Do you know that for all the debate that we had locally in Montréal Nord, the CAQ never show up, never. And I'm sure she's not even there. It would surprise me if La CAQ even show up her face or his face, whatever. So you already know that's a big X. Bingo, X. Vous prenez les X pour La CAQ. Merci, bonjour, out. Je ne ferai pas dans la dentelle because I'm pissed. For 2 years, people have taken us for granted. Now it's about time that you show your power. To show, do you love being abused? Or you want to take back your power and you're going in another way?
We have one more sister minute. One more minute, sister.
So we have all this, but of course, we want you to have more money in your pockets, and that we can offer it, we can deliver it. That's not a problem. About rent, about logement, we can deliver. We think differently from the others, but we think differently that we do not forget nobody. About santé mentale, dans le premier mandat, les premiers 100 jours, we're gonna do something about santé mentale. And moreover, for our youth that we sacrifice, but we sacrifice to the elders. And we are the one who are pushing for une commission d'enquête to what happened to our grandparents. A lot of people, I won't say blood, but close to that, are complices. Vous êtes complices de ce qui s'est passé avec la CAQ. Et je vois le PLQ, je vois Québec solidaire. Vous êtes complices. Vous n'avez rien fait. Vous avez dormi au gaz. And I'm going in. Et à Montréal-Nord, on va se souvenir de ça. Mais you might have money. You might have all the power. But you don't have conviction. Je vous regarde dans les yeux, and this is how I was debating against your colleague at Bourassa Sauvé et Montréal Nord. We will not forget. You have let the black people from Montréal Nord and all over the island, you let us down. And having words, racist systemic, tout ça, I wrote about that. I'm the one who gave you those concepts for you to talk about. That doesn't mean that I do not respect my right. And when I don't want somebody to push something in my body, I have the right to say no. You didn't do nothing. You didn't say nothing. I'm going to end it there. Vote Parti conservateur du Québec. Allez voter maintenant par anticipation. Merci.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Mayamel. Thank you, Carmel, for the passion and for your presentation. We're going to keep it moving. So we'll go as I'm seeing them on my screen. So next, I'll invite Sister Hilal Palvachi from the Quebec Solidaire. Welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Yes, my name is Hilal Palvachi. I'm candidate for Quebec Solidaire in Darcy-McGee. I'm really here just to talk about our platform and answer your questions. Whatever you have as a question, I'm open. I'm willing to have the discussion. And I'm going to be very frank today and just direct. I don't want to use all the lines we always hear in the media. And I want to be direct about what I think and what the party is proposing, so everybody can choose based on their values and what they think about. So why I'm doing this is because I really genuinely believe in social justice in all its forms. And I'm proud to say that Quebec Solidaire is the only party in the decades that have passed that truly wants to attack the root of systemic poverty and disenfranchisement. People have been kept in poverty situations because we've had politicians. In Darcy-McGee, it's a liberal party for now over 40 years who have constantly taken people over there for granted and who've never attacked the situations that put them in a disenfranchisement state and keeps them in poverty. We're talking here about housing. We're talking about public services. We're talking about education. We're talking about access to healthcare. So Quebec Solidaire wants to attack the housing crisis. We don't believe that giving checks to private owners will create a better situation for people who are newcomers and who are in a poverty situation for years at this point. We need to control the rent. We need to stop rent evictions. We need to provide social housing and public housing. We need to make sure people are aware what the rent before them was being paid. Our housing plan is complete, and I'm super proud of it. It's the one thing that everybody in the milieu, the housing milieu, agree. It's a complete plan. It's the only way to stop gentrification and to stop people from always having to stay in homes that are riddled with roaches, with syringes, and anything you want. It's the case in my writing. Some people have really been put in a poverty situation and are still in the case. I grew up there, and some things have literally not changed for now 25 years. We want to make sure people have access to subsidized kindergartens, because it's the only way you can make sure people who have kids at home are able to go back to work. It's always the women. It's always the new immigrants that always have to stay home. And I go door to door. I see people with 2-3 children in their arms and who have no access to subsidized kindergartens. Our goal is to put up 37,000 places and to make sure asylum seekers have access to subsidized kindergartens. They don't currently. Our education system is strongly segregated. It's the worst one in Canada. It's one of three speeds that we say, if you have money, you can send your kid to the private. If you have a kid that's able to perform, you can send them to international programs. And if you're like the rest of us, then you're stuck in a system that's always underfunded and that has no love given to it. And people are in the statistics it shows are not able to go to university and other places in lives and have not the same opportunities as everyone else. I believe in creating equal opportunity for everyone, no matter who you are, where you come from. And we're also talking about access to healthcare. If you're poor, you don't go to the dentist. If you're poor, you don't have access to psychologists. Even medication costs money. You know, you don't have no access to nutritionists, occupational therapists, social workers. All of these services have been cut systemically by the Liberal Party, the Parti Québécois, and now the CAQ. And I believe in bringing that money back into a healthcare system that works for everybody, no matter who you are. We're bringing universal dental care for everybody, no matter what your age is. We're hiring 900 psychologists, 1,000 social workers in the public sector, so you don't have to spend money to go to get help. We want to create a PharmaCare, which is going to be PharmaQuebec is a Société d'État that's going to be making medication, R&D, and distributing it for everybody so it's cheaper and more accessible. And the CLSCs will be open 24/7 for everybody to have access to it and to have access to services that you usually have to pay for, which is physio or massage or whatever you name it. And so that's the goal in Quebec Solidaire. I can't not talk about climate justice. Climate justice we see is one of racial justice, north-sud in the world, all around the world. 30 million people have been displaced last week in Pakistan. 1,500 people have been killed. 1.6 billion million buildings have been destroyed. A third of the country was underwater last week. We're talking about inequality that's going to emerge because climate crisis is at the door. Right now, we see images in Île-de-la-Madeleine and Gaspésie of homes being destroyed. We're hearing about all these horrors. Somebody died last week in Quebec because of the heavy rains we had, historic heavy rains. If we don't attack the problem now, it's the last mandate we have to change the direction towards climate change situation. If we act in 4 years, we will not attain our goals for 2030 when it comes to diminution of greenhouse gases emissions. We have a plan with 62 measures that has been modelized by the same firm as the government to make sure that the plan is applicable and really attacks the problem at its root. Climate change needs to be addressed adequately, and we're the only political party who has a plan that's up to the level expected by the experts around the world. And I'm so proud to talk about it today. If you have questions, I've read it many times and I can answer your questions. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing, thank you. I was about to give you a 1 minute warning, but you hit it, bang on, good job. Thank you very much, a great presentation. I have a couple of questions for you after the fact as well, so that's great. Thank you. All right, so let's go next to Christina from the Parti Libéral de Québec. Thank you for joining us, sister.
Hi, I hope you guys can hear me.
Yes,
we can. Great. Well, good morning. What a Well, I'm very, very happy to be here to represent my party. It's an honor, and I'm really happy to share the stage with my fellow colleagues. It has been fun listening to some of you guys. I want to say that I think it's I respect every single one of you guys. I think it's a huge sacrifice each and every one of us does to put the face publicly, to be a politician, to come out and want to represent a part like writing or want to do their best to better Quebec. So that first, I want to send this message to all of you guys, my respect to each and every one of you. Regarding the parties, I think that we should, the first thing that's dangerous that I believe it's make people or try to build, create fear in people and use one issue to manipulate other things. And I can say this for the board parties who came before me, that they're trying to create anxiety and fear in people and anger, I think, which can be rightfully so for them. But then again, it's the fact that things are not put into perspectives here. And then we can argue about that. It's really not what I'm here for. I think the Liberal Party, well, not that I think, but the Liberal Party has 100 years of history, and we've delivered. We have our little deliveries. No one is perfect. No party is perfect. We're not saying that we've done 100% things, but I hear some of the parties here with beautiful promises. And it reminds me of the CAC 4 years ago with the amazing promises. And we are 4 years later, zero, nothing was done. And so I do think people should be very careful with people who come with these rainbow promises. So we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this. Oh, these people failed. These people failed before us. We have the solution from God. I hope so. It is from God. But I do think that we should be very careful with people who promise things like that. And they don't measure what they're promising, or even if they do, it doesn't take into consideration many things, that the manpower shortage, where are you going to get these people to do all these beautiful things you're announcing? So I do invite every single people here hearing us to do their diligence and go and check what people are saying and be realistic and take that into consideration when voting or when deciding who you're going to vote for. Also, two things. There's the party at the national level and their candidate at the local level. I do think it's important to make the difference and at least to take that into consideration when voting. People who vote for the candidate, they need to see how the person who aspire, who wants to represent them, I mean, what are their values, how involved are they in the local community, not just huge, big national names, what they're doing every day, grassroots, and how I do think it's important to also take many things into consideration. If we talk about vaccination, I mean, it's one thing, but when you're not in the position, it's easier to say, oh, they haven't done this or they haven't done that. But okay, do you know what else, what other things were to take into consideration? You don't know that. And then the other things, nurses, Black nurses are from Haiti who were left out by the CAQ government. It's thanks to Mr. Franz Benjamin, who is someone from the Haitian community, who came forward and fought against what the CAQ were about to do, and Haiti was involved or were finally taking into consideration. So there are
billions. One minute left.
Yeah, there are billions, thank you. There are billions of other things that people, obviously, in their mission to gain votes and play on people's real problems, real insecurities, real difficulties on the day-to-day to gain vote, to create anxiety in them, and to just show any picture that they want that will advantage them, obviously, in their quest for votes. So I do call on everyone to be very careful and to also consider to learn about history and what parties and local candidate present, not just stick or on the national message, but also focus on the values of the individuals that are running or trying to represent them at the National Assembly. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing. Appreciate the feedback. Next, we have our brother Keaton Clark from the Bloc Montreal. Welcome, my brother, again. Thank you for being with us.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you very much for the invitation. Oh. And it's a pleasure to see so many other candidates here today. Knowing that we have a broad spectrum of diverse individuals in Montreal and, of course, the province of Quebec, I'm happy to see that our diversity is quite strong here today. Bloc Montréal as a party, as a new party compared to others, I know many others are talking about the past, what has done and who haven't done what. But we understand that Montreal is still has a great need. The need for Montreal to be a much stronger fiscal economy within Quebec is really a vital part of our existence here within Quebec, knowing that Montreal has been the economic engine of Quebec for many, many years. And of course, the international metropolis for Quebec. So we, Montreal, play a large and important part in the future development of Quebec. We as Bloc Montréal, looking at that fiscal autonomy, where we can say, let's do better. We can do better. We know that the economic growth in Quebec comes through Montreal. We know the immigration systems is what it is today. It needs to be adjusted. It needs to look at how we can improve our cultural landscape. We have to look in terms of the healthcare services as well, where it has depleted itself and put many of us as seniors and many of us in situations where we have to question the value of our services today. So there's a lot of things we need to look at. And we as Bloc Montréal, knowing that across Quebec, we do not have the capacity to have candidates across Quebec, we focus basically in Montreal. We have Canada in Laval, but in Montreal where we can say, okay, the change needs to be now. Let's make those changes. Those changes can come about where the strength is, where the interest lies, where the international forums and businesses come to, which is Montreal. So we want to highlight that Montreal matter. We matter here in Montreal, and we need to make sure that Quebec and the leadership of Quebec is you know, give Montreal the respect it deserves, and we're looking forward to be that voice, to stand in the National Assembly of Quebec, to speak on behalf of all Quebecers, and making sure that we get what it is that we contribute, more so than we do now, because our contribution to Quebec, as many may know, it's 56% of the GDP. We contribute $200 billion all the time, every year. So it's a question of, you know, the return. We need to have a better and greater return so we can actually take care of the infrastructures. We can take care of the affordable housing situation that we have. We can take care of many of the issues that plague our communities. We know that the construction issues goes on. The cones are there every year. We know that the extension of the SDM and the transit systems need to be done. So let's do that. We need more money, more help, more support from Quebec, from the Quebec National Assembly. Allow us, give us the opportunity to be there and speak. Speak on behalf of your issues. Speak up so we can be heard. All of us can be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's awesome. I was making some notes while you're speaking, so I'm going to have some questions for you as well. So last but very far from least in this for this segment of me meet our candidates before we go into the questions. And I see there's some comments happening in the chat right now as well, which is awesome. You guys will have an opportunity to engage, or everyone else could hear what's happening. Last part from Leeds, Alex Terrell, thank you for being with us, brother.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here filling in for my deputy leader, Halima Touba, who's occupied with some last minute childcare responsibilities. So my name is Alex Tyrrell. I've been a leader of the Green Party of Quebec for just over 9 years. And under my leadership, the Green Party has adopted an eco-socialist platform. So for us, eco-socialism means taking care of the environment, but also the population at the same time, making sure that we have quality public healthcare system that's accessible to everybody, regardless of income, making sure that our schools are in good shape and that we have a social safety net in place in which nobody is left behind. We also have a very inclusive identity policy. We've always stood up against the Charter of Quebec values, against Bill 21, against Bill 96, and we've been an outspoken voice against systemic racism in Quebec politics and against right-wing nationalism, which is very divisive in Quebec politics, where we are constantly seeing the big parties targeting certain groups and trying to score political points. Our platform is very wide-based. Some people might think that the Green Party is only about the environment, but in fact, we have an 80-page platform that talks about really all of the issues in Quebec politics. So I'd like to talk about a few of those issues. One of the things facing people nowadays is inflation. So a lot of people really having a hard time making ends meet, making their car payments, being able to afford groceries and paying their rent. And we have a number of policies put forward for this. So let's start with housing. We're living in a time when so few people are able to afford to own their own apartments. And there's so many of us that are paying up to 50% or more of our income straight into the pockets of our landlords through rent payments. And, you know, these rent payments are being used to pay off the mortgages of the people who own these buildings. And at the Green Party of Quebec, we think that this is fundamentally unfair, that this idea that landlords can exploit the working class people in order to enrich themselves is something that's unfair and should be considered illegitimate. So what we're proposing is to pass a law in the National Assembly that would say that no individual or corporation is allowed to own more than 10 rental units. Everything that's above 10 rental units would be expropriated, would become the property of a new public corporation called Habitation Québec. And the people who are living in the apartments would have two options. Either they could buy them for the price that the government had paid, which would be the pre-pandemic value, or they could continue to rent, but with option to buy. And so this way, if you're living in a place for 10, 15 years, let's say, each time you make a rent payment, you retain some of that capital. And at the end of this 10 or 15 year period, you will own your apartment. This is a way to give back, to a whole generation of people for whom home ownership is completely unrealistic. And it's a way of restricting capitalism. We need to restrict the role of capitalism within the housing market because it's really making things very difficult for people. We also want to bring down food prices by having more local agriculture, by having greenhouses in every neighborhood of Quebec that are powered by hydroelectricity and that are run by the communities. In terms of transportation, we want free public transit for everybody, and we want to expand every metro line that we have, including creating the new Pink Line. We think that it's very important to give people positive incentives to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions, but also to help them make ends meet at the end of the month, and to give people the freedom of mobility to move around without having to pay, these exorbitant transit fares. With respect to healthcare, obviously everybody's been through a lot with this pandemic. We've had confinement, isolation. We've seen our hospitals be completely overrun by sick people. We've had to put back surgeries because of the lack of capacity. And so this has been a very serious public health crisis, which merited some very serious responses from the government. But unfortunately, the responses that they've put forward have been, limiting a lot of personal freedoms. We've had different times when it's been illegal to have people come and visit you in your home, yet retail shopping has been open. I think this is completely illogical. Sure, there was a need to put certain measures in place to reduce the spread of the virus, to protect people, to save lives, to protect our healthcare system. But at the same time, we shouldn't have done it in such a pro-business way, and we should have taken better care of people's mental health and their ability to socialize and to see at least a few people around them. There's a lot of parties that are proposing to privatize the healthcare system now, to give our healthcare system to private corporations so that they can profit on it. And these people tell us that this will make things better. This will solve all the problems. We just have to give it to private corporations and all the problems will be taken care of. The Green Party of Quebec, we're against that. We think that the healthcare system should remain under the control of the government. We think that if we give it away to corporations, they're going to want to take profits off it. They could start limiting access to care. It could be only the richest people who get the fastest treatment, and the poor working class people will not have access. So we want to stand up for a public healthcare system. We don't want to compromise. We don't want to give this this critical infrastructure to private corporations. The Green Party of Quebec is here to stand for the people, to make sure that we're healthy, in good shape, and that we have a clean and livable environment.
Okay, thank you. I was about to give you a 1 minute warning, but you got it right on. Good. Thank you guys so much. So this was awesome. And this was this is what we call our first round of just the introduction. Now we're gonna get just this other half hour very quickly to ask some of the questions that we did get from the community. And the way I'll ask the question, the question I'm about to ask is for everybody. So if everybody could just take a minute or less to answer the questions, we'll try to keep it very precise, concise, I should say. And we'll move forward like that. Certain questions are geared towards particular parties, so that might be the case. But also there's a lot of good comments I'm seeing going back and forth in the chat that I think certain points should be addressed. But you know, in a respectful manner, I think it's important that we say that as well, that we're here to have a conversation to share. You have to run, Carmel?
Thank you very much for all of you participating in that. It's my first time. It is hectic. It's crazy. There's some bad thing going on, but still I respect the work you're doing. That doesn't mean I agree, but I'm talking to Parti Libéral du Québec. It's okay. My work is to remove you. You haven't done nothing for you. For the others, you know what would be very great? It's one day we get to proportional way of electing. So we would hear more of all the perspective. But right now, there's somebody who's not present, and we all know that this person has to go. All right, that's cool. Like I kept on. I have to go. I'm going at church to make a talk. Thank you. Thank you to all. Thank you, OFC member. All of you, good luck in the rest of your campaign. Ciao.
Thank you so much, Green. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And if we get a chance, we'll read out some of the comments that she shared before in the chat. So the question that we had, the first question that we had for everybody. I just lost it.
Can I go with
mine? Yes, actually, yeah, go ahead.
So we were talking about that, and it came up a few times about what the current party, how we have to get this current party out, evidently. What has the current party done that specifically? What have they done that you would do differently? And what would you do the same? So we'll kind of go in the same order, and we'll start with Hilal. Let's hear your point of view on that.
Yeah, the list is long. But I think the one thing that really fueled my desire to go into politics was Bill 21. My mom, she wears a hijab, and you know, we've been here for, I'm 25, they've been here before me, so maybe 30 years. And you know, you get racist comments here and there, but around Bill 21 was a whole different situation. It was people asking her to take off her hijab in the middle of the street. It was people throwing hostile looks at her, and she, you know, she always felt sort of out of place here because the resources when it comes to learning French are none. So I, as a child, always had to bridge the gap between my parents and society, but that situation was a whole different ballpark. And I think that, you know, I'm proud of being a Québécoise, but my pride rests in things that are opposed to what François Legault is proud of. And just the other day, I saw him proposing a measure to protéger nos églises, as he called it. And it was just A to Z. I was like, should I laugh? Should I cry? I don't understand. He was talking about secularity. He was pushing people around over it. And now look at what he's doing. Like, so just, I really don't stand for that. For me, inclusivity is fundamental. You know, I'm doing politics because I feel for too long some people are left out of political discussions around the table, important ones. And by getting involved with Québec solidaire, I realized that the CAQ is doing a lot of things wrong, especially when it comes to our public services. So they did campaign over the fact that they wanted to cut by 5,000 people, the people who work for the government. And as they entered the pandemic, they realized by doing that, they would have butchered the system even further than what the Liberals and the PQ did in the past, which would mean the services would be lacking even further, which to me is extremely worrying because we had people just leaving the healthcare system because they were like, I have to do 16 hours straight because there's a private company coming in and giving him the other people the best hours. So I have to work night shifts. I have to tell my children I'm not going to see you another day this week. And I have to be on
and sorry to cut you. Just we want to try to keep your responses within a minute so we can get everybody to be able to speak. And
fair enough. So if I wrap up, inclusivity and service public, public services.
And I can appreciate that the list is long, but as you said, what motivated you to kind of run and go with that? What do you really feel that they did wrong that you want to come and hopefully your party can rectify? Mm-hmm. Christina?
Yes, absolutely. So the one thing that I will agree with my colleague from Quebec, so there will be Bill 21, which we voted against. There's also Bill 96, which Quebec, so they voted for in favor of, which is a bill that is extremely divisive with English speaking communities, extremely, like, this is dead wrong. And then what they did with, at Dawson College, the CAC who is imposing or wants to decide for families what CJEP or university their children should go to, we think it's completely unacceptable. And giving 6 months to newly arrived immigrants to learn French and integrate, we think it's completely, it's disrespectful, literally. And we voted against that bill, which goes way, way, way too far. Also, we have to, well, my party will end TSO, which is a temps supplémentaire obligatoire for healthcare workers, so that they can, especially for women, just like my colleague just said, it's important for women to, well, for everyone, of course, whether they have families or not, to be at work, but also have some time for themselves, for to be just citizens, normal citizens, just thrive. So we will end that, which is a huge mistake currently in the health system. The other thing is the daycare, right? I think someone spoke about it earlier. We will also make the subsidized daycare for 890s for everyone, whether you are citizen or not, or asylum seeker. Right now, the CAC is going to court to fight or remove that opportunity for women or for families because they're not Canadian. So we will cancel that as well. I think what we'll do the same.
Sorry, the minute's up. I know, it goes quick. It goes quick.
Okay.
Thank you, Christina.
Okay.
Brother Keaton?
You want to repeat the question one more time?
The question again is, what has the current party done that motivated you to run that you really were against and that you plan on rectifying?
Well, number one, there are many things, but specifically, I'll speak of Bill 96, 32, and 21. We understand that when it comes to Bill 96 and language issues, that the CAC is taking it back, way back, 45 years then. We're talking about Bill 101 that came out, in 1977? Now, this is going back 45 years. Bill 96, as disruptive as it is, which doesn't make any sense to many of us, believe that it's really invasive. It's going into our own homes, it's going to our own privacy. And in terms of Bill 96, we're talking about that it's actually a distraction. It's a distraction from the direction of talking about, we're talking about sovereignty. We're talking about when Legault's going to talk about the cultures not on the same level. We're talking about division. We're talking about dividing our cultures. We're talking about dividing our people, the people of Quebec. So we're saying no. We're saying as a cultural, one minute left.
Yeah, the minute goes very quickly. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let me just say that in itself, we want to look at the change at the cultural landscape. We need to make sure we look at the Bill 121 5 years ago, open up the cultural landscape, and look at what we need to do to protect the heritage of all those ethnocultural groups who actually built and have and made Quebec what it is.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. All right. Maybe next round we'll give you guys 2 minutes, but you still got 1 minute for this one. All right, Alex, the floor is yours.
All right, thanks a lot. So The Green Party of Quebec, if we were in the position of François Legault, we would have, united people around a project for society, the project that takes into account the environment and social justice. François Legault has been, dividing people, as several people mentioned before me, with Bill 96, with Bill 21, trying to separate people along linguistic, cultural, ethnic lines, religious lines. This is not the kind of Quebec that the Green Party of Quebec wants to contribute to. We want something much more inclusive, something that, promotes the environment and social justice, that unifies people around a common purpose and a common objective to take care of one another, to make sure that we have strong healthcare system, that make sure that we're taking care of the environment, that make sure that people have equal opportunity, that our schools are well-financed, that people have access to education, people have access to be able to own their own homes and not have to work full-time jobs and still live in poverty. There's so many things that we can do in Quebec. We have so much wealth here that we can redistribute, and the Green Party of Quebec would be going in a completely different direction than the CAQ has taken us.
Amazing. Thank you. All right. Very, very good responses, everybody. Thank you for that. So a question that we got from one of the viewers is, and this is for all candidates, what is your experience, training, or education that equips you to deal with anti-Black racism in Montreal, I guess in the province of Quebec? Okay, and we'll stick with the same order, and if everybody's okay, still with keeping within the minute, we'll do that for now, just so we could get as many questions out as possible.
So I can start then?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not Black, and I'm not going to pretend I know the reality of a Black person. I'm not Black. It's not complicated. I think if everybody understood that, things would be way simpler. But people apparently don't. So usually my motto when it comes to, immigration issues, Indigenous issues, Black people, I refer to the people in the party who are Black, and I expect them to share and understand their reality. I try to listen. We have candidates from the Melanated community. I can drop the link for all of our team members if you want to check out a little bit of their profile and what they stand for. All I can say is I grew up in a really diverse place. I think it's not necessarily something I'm proud of because I was exposed to a lot of different cultures, but it's also at the root of it is a situation where we really segregate people in pockets. When you're racialized or you're Black, you can't really get out of the systemic poverty they put you in, and the challenge is added when you're in that situation. So I was really exposed to diversity really young, and so for me, I was like 10 when I realized you just gotta listen to what people are saying. It's not complicated. So that's what I would say.
Okay, thank you. Good response. Next, Christina, floor is yours.
Could you please just repeat the question? I think I just heard anti-Black. I just want to know the whole thing.
So it's not a problem. So the question is, what is your experience, training, or education that equips you to deal with anti-Black racism in Quebec?
Yeah, I was an intervention worker and a trainer at the Black Community Association of Côte des Neiges when I was working with a lot of families in the Black community, English speaking community, and I was pertaining to majorly, but not exclusively, with the child protection services and a bad show and things like that.